You've been through one diet after another, maybe for years. You've counted calories, pushed through workouts, cut carbs, and still the weight came back. It's exhausting. You've been told it's about willpower, but really, it's about science. With Voy's weight loss program, we combine medication with expert support to help you reach your goals. We don't believe in one-size-fits-all solutions. Voy's medication is personalized based on what's right for you. You'll have a full care team behind you, from Voy's clinicians checking in on you to a personal coach keeping you motivated. And with the Voy app, your team is always just a tap away, anytime, anywhere. Join over 100,000 people across the UK already seeing results with Voy at joinvoy.com/podcast. Unsure if it's right for you? Check your eligibility today at joinvoy.com/podcast. Treatments will only be prescribed if deemed appropriate.
This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
My name is Bill Arnett, an improv primate, but only a philosophical amoeba.
This is Mark Lintzemeyer, a highly evolved philosophical, I'd say ubermensch, but as improv, I would say something before the Big Bang. Were there souls that were yet to be incarnated? That's about where I am.
Okay, that might be better than an amoeba.
I mean, I guess it depends how you look at it. I think a real, actualized amoeba is better than an unrealized potential being. We have two guests. We should introduce them. We've got a philosopher and a poet. Philosopher Shannon, introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, I'm Shannon. I have a degree in philosophy, and I also started doing improv around that same time I got that degree.
Audrey, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Audrey Kohler. I'm a poet. I have been writing seriously for about 5 years. I studied at the University of Alaska Southeast, and I've been writing ever since.
Awesome. Outstanding.
And you're both in the Seattle improv scene, is that right? What is that like? What's that place like? It's not Chicago. It's not the Haven.
Honestly, it's a real dream.
Totally.
And we're both very lucky. We're ensemble members at Unexpected Productions. And I would say better than the Chicago scene, because everybody I know in the Chicago scene is like, it's highly competitive. And in Seattle, we do it because we love it and not because we're trying to be discovered. And so we have a real license for artistic play.
Well, the gauntlet has been thrown down.
I'm stating it for everyone to hear.
And it's wet and damp from the weather and smells like a tuna. So,
okay. Who do we have here? I don't know. Salmon, maybe.
Salmon.
Yeah, yeah. I should have gone salmon. Even improvisers can do poorly. Even improvisers can make mistakes, huh? Hmm.
Are there mistakes in improv? We don't know.
Exactly. Or aren't there?
The questions are already here.
Yeah. We're already getting philosophical.
How many wrong things have I said on this podcast? And then Bill tweaks it and makes it that, oh, it was actually the right thing in an unexpected direction.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
No, we're really fortunate, and the Seattle scene has been really awesome. Very fostering as well. And just lots of room, like Shannon said, to play and experiment. And
that's great.
Yeah.
And among these playings, you came as a package deal. You were recommended together. A philosophy versus poetry thing. Have the two arts gotten to square off in a public performance space before today?
Yes. Audrey and I have a duo called Closer to Clarity. And what that means is we ask people for their BLQs, their big life questions. And then we take those BLQs and we do a scene that on the surface has nothing to do with it. But we try and answer that question throughout the scene. And at the end, we ask people if we've answered their question or not.
And if we haven't, then we have to do the scene again.
Wow.
That seems like we should do a proof of concept. Of course, you have to include us, which, you know, will make it lame. Mm-hmm. But let's, Bill, do you have a big life question to throw at these ladies?
A BLQ. Well, and you also got to make sure, Mark, that we don't, you know, intentionally torpedo the scene.
Okay. But I mean, I think if you have a real big life question, not, I worship the devil and I try to do that out in public, but people don't tend to like that. What can I do? No, that would be, actually, that might make a great scene, but that's not a real life question that I'm having.
Okay.
Can you give Bill some prompts? Be his midwife to draw out what his question might be to you. I know that's not part of what you do on stage, right? Because you just, they yell stuff probably.
Well, it's actually Dicks. Absolutely part of it. We always start by sharing like our BLQs. I can share a BLQ I have right now, and maybe that will help prompt Bill. One of my BLQs right now, I have a lot of BLQs right now. It's a big BLQ time. This is kind of a BLQ that's kind of always in my mind, but in different ways. And it's like, what is enough? You know, like, what is it enough to do every day? What is it enough to show up for your community? What is enough to exist? So that's one of my big BLQs right now.
Okay, not bad. All right, well, I've got one. And again, as an improviser, I'm going to try to give you one that's sincere and not
Please.
Sabotage your performance here, as Mark did. And then later said he was joking. Right. Right.
I'll get my devil advice on another episode.
My BLQ would be this. When do I stick up for myself and when do I let it ride?
Absolutely. Yeah. A great BLQ.
Okay.
Great BLQ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, I'm worried about the timesheets.
Margaret, time is happening whether or not the sheets are done.
And yet the sheets, they need to be done in order for everyone to get paid, you know? So I'm just trying to get everybody paid.
See, I've been thinking about that and I've just been wondering if the timesheets theoretically didn't get done, could there be a way that we just pay the people what they feel they need? Could we budget perhaps just like a moment for us all to kind of gather together and just think about what money could be or hasn't been.
Nancy, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to let you go as CFO.
I disagree. I feel strongly.
Hey, sorry to bust in here real fast. I got those timesheets from last week. Just wanted to hand them in. These go to you or in your box.
Oh my gosh, my box would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
And actually, Michael, while you're here, could you please escort Nancy out of the building? She'll no longer be working for us.
Oh my gosh, I'm not an HR. I'm not sure if that's something I'm allowed to do.
We talked about this in the union meeting. This was the day. We were standing up, I thought.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's... Did you document it? Has this been documented? Is this because you're supposed to be a 3?
You know how I feel about pens. I'm not touching a pen again. I will not write anything down.
From what I understand about HR, hey, this ain't my area. You know, I just kind of 23 skidooed those timesheets, dropping them off. Cool.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just passing here. As security in the building, if somebody's going to be escorted out, I would like to be the one to do it. Too often, you're just telling other people to escort other people out, and I feel like escorting is my job, and I really got to stand now, because otherwise, what am I doing here?
You're right.
He's doing that. He does this all the time. He's walking in. He's escorting people. He's bringing timesheets in when I wasn't trying to turn them in.
Look, okay, you're right. I should have let you be security. I just didn't want to get on my walkie-talkie today, but here you are with us in-person walkie-talkie, so I'm talking to you to walk Nancy out. And it is well documented, Nancy's inability to be the CFO.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, can I just admit something real fast?
Please.
These are all the timesheets from accounts receivable. We didn't actually fill them in. We went online to the swipe, the building security website, where it logs when you swipe in and swiped out, and just ripped a screen grab and just filled it in.
Oh, could I escort him out too? I escort Michael.
I'm just saying, it's like if we wanted to, like, you know, streamline things, you know, they've got every time we swipe in and swipe out, it's already, you know, like, it's there. So just let you know.
Are we paying websites now? Is that what we're going to do? We're paying websites instead of people?
Well, no, we get the people's information from the website. And it's the building security kind of thing. So it's got all of our logins, got all of our times in and out. So,
we're ordering pens from websites now, too?
Nancy, we have to have pens.
I'm telling you, we don't need pens. We don't need them. It's a waste of time and resource. Did the website tell you to do this?
I'll escort the pens out. I can escort that website out.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to escort Nancy, Michael, the pens, and actually everybody in this building out. I'm so sorry. I've just decided to start fresh, Nancy. Please know I love you, and I hope this doesn't interrupt Thanksgiving.
Really? Really? You're firing
everybody, yes.
They got to you.
I say we call this bluff, everybody. Let's just all escort ourselves out. And let's see how this goes. Let's see
how this appointed. I'm standing up for myself. Everybody behind me, single file. We're all, don't get any of your stuff. Their stuff will be mailed to you later. We're just going out in a line. Okay. I'm actually going to escort the air out as well, so you might not want to be here.
We'll stop there. We'll stop
there. There's no more air in the room. I sucked all the air out of the room. Sorry.
Yeah, you did, Mark, didn't you? Well, that was fun, y'all. Let me just come out and say, right out of the gate, Mark, you know I love office scenes.
And you didn't even start this one. These guests are come from the same Seattle and Chicago ain't that far apart.
Cut from the same cloth. No, I do love office scenes, and I'm not being facetious or because everyone, most people have a job or have been in an office or understand how offices work. They have such a specific politics. They are themselves a microcosm within our greater world. And the issues and things that we can bring up or discuss there have weight, but then they also don't because at 5 o'clock we all go home. You know, so I really like offices and I'm not joking and I probably go to them too often. So I was happy I could slide right into that office scene, no problem.
And we haven't asked you yet, Bill. Did we answer your BLQ?
Did we answer your BLQ?
Oh, now if I say no, do we have to redo the exact same scene just as we did it?
No, it would be entirely different.
Oh, okay. Oh.
That one was so short. I mean, there was so much more to explore, Audrey. I really like this communist office and the weird thing about pens. There's more information to be mined, but I felt like, okay, let's just, this was the trial. We'll do another thing.
Well, I mean, I guess now that you're talking, Mark, I guess there was a little bit of an answer to it. Uh-oh, do I not give the little bit of an answer?
Give your answer.
Well, it's this idea that when is speaking up for myself just an expression of my own, I have a voice. Everyone needs to listen to me. When is it being selfish or narcissistic versus no. There's a wrong.
Absolutely. Is the answer enough?
But I didn't get an answer.
Okay.
No. It's not enough.
Okay, great. I need more.
We do. One of the things is we really make people say yes or no.
We really do. It's very, there's no.
I want to put you all through the ringer. We need to see this. We need to stress test the improv form here.
Yes, please.
So I'm going to say no.
Great. Ooh, so then, okay. So revisiting that BLQ of when do I stand up for myself?
And versus when do I let things go?
Let things go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Two-parter.
Great.
If I'm thinking about what my BLQ is, and of course, as a philosopher, I have no straight answer for any particular question.
Are you standing up for yourself right now, or are you letting this go? Because we're working on my BLQ.
But really? Are we still doing that? I thought we moved on.
Then we're going to redo the scene.
We have to redo it. He said no.
Okay.
Unless that is it. Mark, were you starting it?
That's too meta for today. I'm not going to say that's too meta.
Fair enough.
We're the alternate history of the own podcast if we made some slightly different choice on this podcast right now. Ooh. I was thinking about coming in earlier because I really, when Audrey introduced the, what if we did this other thing of like, I'll be the narrator and force you guys to shift the scene to now we're in the alternate world where we did things Audrey's character's way. That might be a way to revisit the scene.
You could just start this scene, Mark.
Yeah, and this will be an entirely new scene. Different setting, different
totally
characters.
Brand new.
You want to get this thing rolling, Mark? When did you get this thing rolling?
Then I can't say it's an alternate history of the other in a different office.
We will understand that it is. We will understand that it is.
In a different office, far from those crazy Seattle cutting edge offices in the heart of downtown Chicago where things are run by graft. There's a different kind of office going on. And the same two executives, though with different personalities and their names are reversed, are discussing a similar thing.
I'm not sure what just happened.
I just introduced, now you're Nancy.
Oh.
And Audrey is, what was your name last time?
Unnamed.
The boss.
The boss, yeah.
All right, boss, you run the circus now.
Hey, y'all. I'm sorry to bust in here. I know you guys are having an important meeting, but the feng shui is just really off in the accounts receivable department, and we got to get that figured out because the Q4 impressions, we believe the Q4 impressions should be disseminated at some point, and we're just really blocked with the feng shui and the accounts receivable.
Oh my God, we do not want to be blocked. No, we need open air, open spaces, open concept, open hearts.
Yeah. I've just been thinking about this. And what if, just hear me out, if we make this IKEA just empty, we just take everything. Let's just take all the furniture away. And then when people come in, they can imagine the furniture that they need. And then if we have it or if we don't have it, that's the next step. We don't need to worry about that. We just want them to want our furniture and what it could be.
Well, yeah, we can run this by Gary, see what he thinks. But I think that's
Gary. We're run this by Gary.
I love Gary.
Did somebody call my name?
Oh my God!
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Gary, your presence.
Hey,
it is among our presences are mingling.
Wow, I don't even have to imagine it. You're just here.
Here, you're doing something with the furniture. Maybe rearranging.
Gary, how do you always just know things?
I'm sort of an omniscient narrator kind of thing. I'm kind of the guy who gets the scenes rolling.
We know.
Well, get this. We are considering removing all the furniture from IKEA. Get this. You know, people, they're at home, they see the catalog, and they imagine what the furniture is like. And what if that experience is actually more positive, more constructive than actually seeing the furniture? So when they go to IKEA, they can be like, this is where that picture from the catalog was taken. I can tell by the windows and the walls and things. And then they get to re-experience that feeling of imagination that they got looking at the catalog.
I'm just gonna move this bed all by myself right now. Watch me, Gary. Gary, look at me. Gary, I'm moving the bed. Gary.
Okay. Yeah. You keep
looking. Oh my gosh, there used to be a bed here. I wonder if there was ever a bed here. Maybe I should buy it or not. I don't know. You see?
Our market research has showed that our purchasers like the process of putting them together more than the actual furniture. It's that IKEA DIY. Yeah, that's the right words. The DIY spirit. So I think maybe your idea, we should combine. So instead of moving the furniture out by yourself, as sexy as you look doing that,
oh, thank you.
I think the customers might appreciate moving the furniture out instead of us.
Wow.
From what I understand, people really like payroll. So I think we might want to let our customers run payroll.
Those were such good words, Gary. I'm on board. I'm just like imagining that happen and imagining like the utopia that is.
Gary, all due respect, that does feel like my idea, but then just also there's no money coming in.
The fact that they would be running payroll doesn't mean we wouldn't get the money. It just, we wouldn't have to keep track of the money. We'd let the customers keep track of the money. You see a problem with that?
You know what's really popular? Subscription services.
Mm.
What if you subscribe to IKEA and then you can come into the store and do payroll? That's what I'm saying. Imagine you come here, there's no furniture, and you got to do payroll. And you can do it as much as you want. You know, the subscription service, you can come in every day if you wanted to. Imagine.
I'm imagining. It's beautiful.
Sort of an all-you-can-process.
Processing, yeah.
People would spend money on that.
You do get a few abusers. We might have to get somebody. I mean, if somebody's just here all the time, then it's like almost like they're an employee. I mean, why? I don't want to. I guess the fact that I won't be here, I'll be working remotely. What makes this not turn into a homeless encampment is what I'm wondering about.
You're going to be working remotely?
You're going to be working remotely?
Where are you going to work? Where are you working?
Where are you working?
How remote are you going to be?
An island?
I mean, one of the islands. It just depends.
You're moving to an island?
There are lots of, I've got several summer homes. They're in places where it's always summer.
Several summer homes? On which island?
On which island? And can I come?
Yeah. You're holding out. You're hogging the islands.
Yeah.
When were you going to share this with us? You were just going to tell us that you were going to work remotely?
I think we need to have some customers come in and act as HR to field your questions, because this is a little too invasive. And
invasive?
I think maybe you should just continue to have great ideas and look great having them and stop with the questions.
Let's stop it. They're perfect.
Yeah. Gary's an asshole. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was.
I thought he was so cool, but you guys uncovered that he was not.
Yeah. No, it's not bad, Mark. And while I certainly, boy, I would love to get all that narration into dialogue. Imagine that world, Mark. It's not easy, but I did enjoy the topsy-turvy world.
Let me ask you three, as experienced improvisers, can one of the roles legitimately be, like, I went to this thing, this my one live on-stage improvisation thing where it was those, you know, a group of seven people and a couple people are there, and then somebody runs on and changes things, or taps somebody and changes things, that kind of thing. Can you run on and be the narrator and just make them do something else? You're not actually participating, you're... I don't know. It seems like a legit move to me, but that's because...
There are some stylistic considerations, and style is not right or wrong. So, A, the first answer is yes. The second answer would be, well, how much are you doing, and are you just turning all the performers on stage into your puppets, if that makes sense? That's your BQ right there. LBQ right there is how much, what's style and what's puppetry?
It's a combination of things too, right? Like, what's so wonderful and fun about improv and amazing about what we do is, like, everything is an offer, right? Anything can happen on stage. And so you don't have to worry about, like, oh, is what I'm doing, like, the right thing? Because theoretically you're up there. And if you're up there at all, you know, you're tossing things out, and hopefully the people that you're on stage with are right there with you and catching and throwing things out as well. So I think, of course, like, yeah, to go out and to be a narrator, or to say, like, oh, and do these things, of course that's available and an option and could be really exciting. I think as long as the intention of being on stage is to be helping your fellow players and to be serving the scene, then that's great. Of course, you know, I'm sure we've all played with people who are, you know, they want to steer the ship and make the scene exactly what they think, but that's what's so great, is like at any point, anything you say, or even if you have like, oh, okay, maybe it's going this way, that could totally change in an instant. And then you got to be right there with wherever it is and steer it from there. So,
but also back to Bill's point, is that there is a difference between like narrating as a character and being the character, right?
Totally.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, who knows? You know, we can always pull these narrators. We kind of pulled you in. I didn't know if you would be the same person, Mark, the same, your same narrator, or just a different guy named Gary.
I mean, who knows? I couldn't settle.
Yeah. Back to your form. Do you typically find that, I don't want to say success rate, because I don't want to put success or failure. After all, it is a show and people are going there to be entertained and enjoy themselves and slough off the day. Is it a good thing for people to say, you didn't answer it yet? Or is it a bad thing? Or what kind of rate are we talking here?
I would say we have a very high success rate. We almost never get no's. Partially, okay. I think, because people are nice. We have learned when if people are in groups, you have to ask the person who answered the question.
Yes.
Sure.
Whereas sometimes there'll be group things. And so we really, it's like, nope, it's got to be
yes,
the person. We did accidentally get into the middle of like some relationship issues last show.
Got pretty high stakes pretty fast.
Yeah.
But no, people typically answer yes. And when they don't, it's like part of what you did, Bill, of just like, well, let me test. And actually our very first show, someone was like, well, what happens if I say no before I answer? And we're like, oh, we'll do it again. And she's like, great, then no. Because she wanted to see it again.
Yeah. Do you try to do, I mean, how long is the typical scene?
We're really lucky to have some really awesome like lighting techs in Seattle. And so like they're really in control of how long the
scene
is. They're
calling me out some things.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, like 2 minutes, 20 minutes, variable?
It's definitely not 20 minutes, but the scene can be 30 seconds if the light tech is like, this first offer is
that was fun.
The answer,
okay, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
A lot of our really impactful scenes have been like super short.
Sure. Oh, I bet. And you'll get a new question and just kind of run. Yeah, we're just talking shop here, Mark.
So the light tech is the narrator. The light tech is saying, without saying, yeah, that was good. You're done.
Yeah, yes. I mean, they really decide what the answer is, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a deus ex.
Yeah.
Techia, yeah.
Yeah.
Light tech of the gods, yeah.
To focus on the philosophy versus poetry angle, is it the, what you were just saying, Shannon, about the, if it's a group, right? Philosophy, at least some ways of taking philosophy, is on the side of science or just other regular inquiry, where we can sort of tell if an answer has been given. Whereas poetry is undoubtedly personal, right? I mean, obviously people can judge poetry. There's a social aspect. Philosophy is sort of in between that, as it's done academically, the whole purpose of talking with other people about it is it doesn't matter if you think it's a good argument, right? We just discuss it and it'll sort of come to light in the literature. Was that a good argument? Did it stand the test of time or not? But still, I feel like philosophy should also be personal, should be closer to poetry. How do you see philosophy? And is it complementing poetry, doing basically the same thing, a voyage of self-discovery by other means? What's the difference?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that philosophy finds its way into, you know, has the opportunity to find its way into poetry. Poetry is great because it can hold a lot of questions, or it can be a way of exploring questions, and they can hold things sort of amorphously as well, right? Like you can have concepts next to each other. You can have words on different sides of the page. You know, obviously there is format in poetry. There's a lot of those, but a poem as it is, the root word really just means to make. So the way I view poetry is if you've made it, it's a poem. So that could be a cup of coffee in the morning. That could be making it to work on time. That could be gathering enough courage to say some things, you know, that you're nervous about. It's just once you start seeing it that way, then poetry is everywhere. And so I use poetry often to poke at things that I'm, you know, not certain about, or, you know, things that contradict, right? And you can hold that on a page. So sometimes maybe it's a way of finding an answer, or just asking the question, or there's room for all of it, for sure.
Shannon, your rebuttal?
Yeah, contrary.
Sometimes I just get entranced when Audrey talks. I'm like, yeah, totally. And Audrey's actually directs a poetry show that's happening right now. Yeah, sometimes I just love to listen to Audrey talk. But no, I think philosophy and poetry are both, like Audrey mentioned, they're both examining, right, what it means to be alive, right, and in connection with the world and other people. And so to me, poetry is just a more artistic way of doing it, and often a more condensed way of doing it. But though there's certainly some very long poems, but yeah, to me, it's the main difference is the length at which we do it, right? And how often poetry is all about like cutting it down to metaphor quickly, and philosophy is all about expanding it out and looking at how many different similes you can, right?
It's fun. You know, if we're talking about like comparing and contrasting, what they do have that's similar is you can have a question, right, in philosophy that holds contradiction, or that, you know, that kind of carries all of these things on both sides. It's like, you know, holding the rope on either side, and then in the middle is just wondering or impossibility. And with a poem, similarly, you can have a sentence or a phrase or a word that holds more than one meaning, right? You can, you know, is it like double entendre, or like something that has multiple meanings at once? And so while a poem can condense or be short, I think it's also just about like holding as much as you can in as small of a vessel as possible. They dance very well together.
An acknowledgement of the limitations of our language and our ability to understand things.
Oh my gosh.
And I think often people don't acknowledge their own limitations in order to accept that contradictions. I mean, if we could see through the eyes of some God or a mortal being, perhaps those contradictions wouldn't exist, but they exist for us because of our own limitations and inability to perhaps see the deeper truth.
That's exciting too. I think about that, like language at all, to say anything, it's like we have below any word that we say is our intention and our hope. It's like this, like, it's just this glob of our experiences and hopes and, you know, and we're just like casting this big net out, and we're using a word to wrap around.
Trying to assign something that someone told, well, here, we didn't invent English. What? Someone told it to us, and we're trying to go through that set of words and concepts to explain it.
Yes. And there's all these like barriers and things that can happen along the way. And, you know, you think about it as a physical thing too, right? Like sound waves are physical things that are crossing through spaces. Like so much is happening all at once.
I'm sure Mark disagrees very vehemently with all of this, Mark.
Well, I was resisting the urge to narrate and make each of us, you and me, Bill, to be their alter ego, since they are so much nicely, not in agreement exactly, but, you know, mutually admiring, that if we actually want to have philosophy versus poetry, I think we got to stir the soup. We got to rumble a little bit. But then I started thinking about, so I write a lot of songs. So that's technically poetry, but I would never put my lyrics in a book. Like, I think my lyrics are good. You know, I'm not going to make absolute trash, but it's almost out of a frustration with the ability to express that the whole, what you are describing poetry is doing is something that I find very frustrating. And so I feel like pop music is just a way that we while away the hours while our insoluble conflicts flash by us. So it's more, you know, so you could have dumb baby, baby, like, you know, pop music relies on tropes in a way that, I don't know, does poetry, I suppose it's very different if you're a poetry fan and you're like, oh, you're falling into that old romantic thing. You're doing some of that Percy Bysshe Shelley, or I don't know who you would be channeling, as opposed to, you know, when I hear poetry, since I'm so divorced from that as a literary endeavor, I'm open to anything, you know? So what you're describing sounds great in the abstract, but maybe the role of cliche is not so strong in poetry, or is it?
Oh, I mean, it certainly can be, right? Of course, as with anything, but it's not necessarily a limitation. You know, it could be something that you play with too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really just feel like there's room for everything in poetry, and it's exciting. There is that bridge to cross, right? Because poetry has done well to isolate itself also. And I think people can feel removed from it, or that they don't exist in it, or it's not for them, or they don't understand it. And so, you know, people don't like to engage with things they don't understand, which is okay, but it's not any one thing. And I think it's totally okay. You know, you can have poets that you really like and connect with, and then poets that, you know, similar to music, right? There's all kinds of variations out there. So
now, Mark, you said something, and now I wonder if Shannon and Mark, between the two of you as philosophers, I often ask Mark, what did the ancients have to say as kind of a catch-all to what are the memes and tropes of philosophy? You mentioned something, Mark, insoluble conflicts or insoluble problems. Do the ancients, does mainstream philosophy believe that there are some insoluble issues or conflicts or things that are beyond resolution? Or do they, no, if we break this thing down enough, we can...
Shannon, you take it first. I've been talking too much here.
I think each ancient will have a different answer, right?
Okay, fair enough.
So everybody's really, again, trying to find out their meaning for things, and they don't really care if it's not, they don't care, but they believe that their way of thinking is the right way, right?
Sure. Is there a way of thinking that does consider or accept insoluble problems?
So the ancient skeptics, that it's actually the purpose of skepticism is to set aside these things that would trouble you because we just can't know them.
I don't know about that, Mark. I don't know. I'm being skeptical.
Reach some peace because you're not letting yourself be troubled by what's going on in the heavens. So that's to some degree how you could see that I'm going to play some 12 bar blues or whatever, because even though that's the most generic kind of music that there is, blues, like, you know, oh, it all sounds the same. Well, blues really does all sound the same, like, for a lot of it. But it is a matter of these are recurring things that are part of the human condition. So why would you expect there to be, as much as I want as an artist, every person to be uttering a unique thing that's never been said before? Because otherwise, why even bother? Why poise? Why poise? Sure. What's the verb for poesis? Poese. Yeah, why do that? But I recognize, again, it's not a matter of, like, you're building a scientific consensus or adding a brick to the wall of history. You're doing something right now. You are singing a song. You are chanting a poem. You are doing an improv scene. It doesn't really matter. You know, as long as it is addressing the situation that you're in, it doesn't really matter if it is breaking some new ground or fundamentally solving some question.
Okay. All right. Okay. Do we need to do another improv scene, Mark?
I think we definitely need to do another improv scene.
We've been experimenting with a recurring world. And I think, did Mark inform you of our recurring?
Yes.
Yes.
Are we going to narrate this thing, Mark?
Just to give the standard intro, that Empty Street is a place somewhere in suburbia with a bunch of highways stretching out in all directions, the little boxes, or rather the big box stores. It's just depressing. And perhaps I can only express it with the theme song. It's time to go to Empty Street. It's time to go to Empty Street. It's time to go to Empty Street, where the streets are full of basically nothing. So, Glenn, I was thinking we should have like a poetry jam here at the combination Taco Bell, Subway, Quickie Mart. What do you? I heard those gals at the table over there. They're kind of talking about poetry or something? What do you think of, you know, getting some culture here?
A poetry night at the gas station?
Yeah.
We're not really licensed for that.
Let's ladies, I'm sorry. I heard you talking about Proust. I heard you talking about, who's the poet you were just talking about?
Let me just apologize for Bert real fast. He kind of lives in the area and is here a lot. No worries. If you need some refills, I can get that for you.
Well, can I have a coffee?
Sure. I'll grab that for you. No problem.
Thank you.
Certainly. That was a really good order.
Thank you. I was practicing before.
So was it Angelou you were talking about? Who are you reading right now?
Well, I was talking about...
Privately, for the record.
Right. We were talking and we were actually writing our own poems.
Yeah.
We're actually talking about the poems that we were writing in secret, our secret poems.
We put them in a locked diary afterwards.
Right. And the password is also secret. And the password is a key that we hide.
Yeah. In a secret location.
Okay, so you wouldn't want to, like, stand up in front of the, you know, where the lines from the Taco Bell and the Subway come together and recite some of this?
We could potentially have people stand somewhere where no one else is, and then, like,
vertically
upwards. And then maybe they could, like, whisper their secret poem, but it would have to be like no one can hear them.
Yeah, like they could be like bipedal on 2 feet and then just like softly speak their truth. We would like unlock it together.
Right. We could watch. We could be inside looking through the window and watch them secretly say their poem, and we could not know what it is, but we could unlock what they've locked and then all relock it together.
Yeah.
With our eyes closed so we can't know where anything is, though.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Eyes closed, ears plugged, standing at the window, not knowing anything.
Mm-hmm. Here's that coffee you ordered. By the way, at midnight, the new gas prices, I don't know if you've gotten your gas yet, but or even here for gas, but they're just going to go down a couple of pennies, FYI. So,
oh my gosh.
If you are here for gas, I would wait till after midnight. You'll save a couple cents per gallon.
I'm ready to wait 7 hours to save a couple dollars per gallon. Absolutely. That is not a secret that I will say loud and proud. I'm ready to wait 7 hours.
You are so good at saving and just like you truly, what an inspiration.
Oh my God.
You're always just like ready to do absolutely anything that you can do. Save a couple of cents.
Yeah, I've been here since 5 a.m. waiting for that midnight time change and, you know, the sense change for gas.
Well, since we're all waiting, let's do the poetry.
Yeah, do you have like this? Do you want to have a secret poem?
Do I have a secret?
What's your secret poem?
Yeah.
I just kind of work. I'm the general manager. I don't.
Okay, but like it was your idea, right? So there must be something secretly locked inside your heart that you want to say proudly.
Okay.
Quietly,
a quiet poem
through a window that we've Windexed.
I don't recall suggesting a poetry slam. If it's quiet, then I can just say it to myself. Would that be okay?
You got way more in you than that. I mean, you were when Jason was like filling up from the fountain drink and just like drinking all through his shift. What you laid into him with quiet devastation was truly poetic. I could not reproduce it now, but like it shows me that you have something special going on in your heart.
He was filling up his to-go cup and then refilling a jug in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That right there was like a beautiful poem.
That was beautiful.
I felt that was, oh my gosh, that was deep. Filling up a jug. Like, what does it mean for a jug to be full, you know?
What, right? Like, when is it full?
Well, it was gross because he was trying to do it, you know, without me seeing in the bathroom, and like who's pouring liquids to later be consumed in the bathroom, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Overflowing.
Who is?
Well, you asked it as a question. Yeah. Who? It's like all of us, really.
Hmm.
We are all in our own way, refilling, stealing.
Wait.
Mr. Pibb, and then refilling jugs in the bathroom.
I'm hearing your poems.
She's channeling. Oh my God. She's channeling.
Hang on. I'm hearing your poems, and here's something I know now. I heard it in the poetry verse.
Say it, Kelsey. Say it.
Okay. We have to pinky promise that it's all a secret, okay?
So secret.
We all have a secret poem and we all have to say it now together.
Okay.
But we cannot hear what it is. We have to say our secret poems right now, but it has to be a secret from all of us, okay? We have to all make sure that our poems are secret, but we have to say them right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so like we count 1, 2, 3. I'm not sure these legs are both mine. Oh, sorry. I said that
out loud.
You can't say your poem out loud.
There was subtext. The subtext was hidden.
You can only say it when I'm not listening.
Just to pause, Bert, you said your legs aren't your own. Is that what you said, Bert?
It was secret.
Whose legs do you have?
It's secret. You can't question it. This is why.
I'm sorry.
I thought that was the point.
If you have somebody else's legs, are you no longer bipedal? Because that was also part of it.
You're quadrupedal.
I mean, I can walk just fine. I just, you have doubts. People have doubts. Don't you have doubts about things about yourself?
You have 4 legs and you aren't going to tell us.
Not usually about body parts. I kind of presume that they are mine.
Yeah, well, when you presume, you make a priest out of you and me. Is that right? Because it's like the secret confession?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought this was secret. Okay.
No, that's fine. Well, you don't say it out loud. It's not a secret if you say it out loud, right?
We're going to all do it together. And you can say it again or say a different one. Okay.
All right.
But that one wasn't secret, but I will keep your secret. Okay. I will put it in my locked diary with a key. I view that secret now through a window.
Okay. Let me just tell, hey, people in line, this is the slam right now. We're going to count off. You're not going to be able to hear the poems because they're in our heads, but you can participate in this social event.
Well, we're saying the poems, but we have to we can't hear them. We have to plug our ears so we can't hear each other's poems.
All right.
Yes.
All right. People in line, do they have to plug their ears too?
1, 2, 3. I believe that when a crow flies, that it sees the whole world outside of itself, and it becomes freedom.
The sky.
Coupons for gas for all those people.
Probably left one.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
I really felt that.
I think this has been a great experiment. You know, well, we got, I guess, 7 more hours still till midnight, you said?
Yeah, probably 6.5 now. Yeah.
Okay.
You're really good at keeping time.
We could keep doing this. It's like an epic poem, an ode.
This might just be a one and done, Bert. I think this is just going to be a one and done, and I need to go stop these people who are looking towards the door and maybe give them some coupons to stay. They were a little, not the truck stop experience they were expecting.
Oh my gosh, truck stop experience. Most beautiful. Coupon to stay. Oh my God. Coupons to stay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, very fun.
Well, my character was about to thank you ladies for sharing your poetry with us. But now I will out of character say thank you so much for sharing your poetic existences with us. That was fun.
Yes, yes.
Yes, thank you for having us.
And congratulations on your show. Congratulations on your run, and I hope it's going well and doing what it needs to do for yourself, you know, for your improviser soul is being fed by this thing. Yeah.
Really? We got to feed that improv soul. It's hungry. That's a hungry beast.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Are there any other conclusions we want to ferret out of what just happened before we wrap it up here, either philosophical or improvisational?
I would love for you to narrate what our lesson was.
We've shown that poetry and philosophy are completely at peace with each other, that Plato was wrong when in the Republic he said that we should kick all the poets out because they just lie to people, because philosophy lies just as much. Mm. And, you know, that's just a bad understanding of poetry. And really, of course, he was talking about trashy fiction. That's the only trashy fiction they had back then. So it was not really against poetry specifically. It was against all sorts of fictional entertainments.
Are you a Plato apologist now? Is that what that is? Or is that a platologist?
Do we feel that certain things should be, you know, of course, we're all committed to freedom of speech and things like that as a legal matter. But ethically, do you feel like some forms of entertainment, yeah, if we could kick them off the island, that people would be better off?
TikTok?
the worst kind of reality TV? I don't know. Shannon loves it all.
No, I'll take all of it. I'll take all of it.
The most famous philosopher we've had on here is David Chalmers, and I had asked him straight up during one of his my interviews with him, no flames? As in, like, Hume saying, if you're reading a piece of philosophy and it doesn't fit these criteria, in his case, it was either about mathematics or about science, commit it to the flames. And he had a very, no, it's not that it's all good. We want to, you know, not suspend our critical evaluations altogether. But yes, if I have a theory of poetry, if I have a theory of poesis, it is, if you don't like some type of thing, it's because you don't see what it is trying to do. I'm guessing among our listenership, there are not a huge number of heavy poetry consumers. So make your pitch for why they should go and get their Maya Angelou or what? Well, who are you reading right now?
Mary Oliver is one of my favorites. I reach for her because I think we have similar writing spirits. But I would encourage people to honestly write something down. Just start slowing down, noticing things, what's around you. You know, a grocery list can be a poem. So maybe start by just seeing what feels like a poem to you and then find your voice and chase that. Or, you know, it's okay to not like a poem. Like, that's totally allowed. Or, like, you can laugh in a poem. It can be everything and anything. So go explore and have fun and see what you like.
Is there a similarity in the everyday person's perhaps aversion to poetry to their aversion to improv? That has something to do with just the cliche of, hey, everybody, give me a couple words. And we're going to act out a scene right now. Just the fact that it's been done in hacky ways by some people. And so maybe when you picture poetry, you picture, you know, somebody in your high school or whatever that had a particular sort of delivery. And you just think, oh, well, that's what poetry is. And no. There's of course, you know.
Before you get insulted, we're in the same bed with philosophy as well.
Oh, yes.
We're all living in the same house.
Pretentious douchebags asking, oh, is the chair really there? Go home. But of course, there's lots of other kinds of philosophy than that. So, but more of our audience probably is familiar with that.
That's maybe all of our BLQ.
Is the chair really
have,
there?
Have we condemned ourselves? And is there a problem condemning yourself to a interest, a vocation that is not widely accepted and perhaps overlooked / misunderstood / mocked in some circles? And is that really a problem? Especially if I then turn around and mock them right back for being...
That's where you should stand your ground, Bill.
Plebeians who don't understand culture.
Yeah, that's where you stand up. Yeah, do you stand up?
Yes.
Do you let it roll off?
If you don't get my art, you're broken. I blame your parents for not gifting you with the culture to understand my stabs at brilliance. Man. That'll do it. That'll make me friends.
That's how you get them. Yeah.
Any closing words to our audience? Shannon, you start. Make your case for philosophy. Leave them with something pithy.
Something pithy. My case is that there's a great big world out there, and there's a lot we can understand by connecting with each other and connecting with ourselves.
Well, that's very nice. Audrey, I feel you already made a very good case for poetry, and I feel like you've been infected with philosophy because that was a very, poetry is when you make coffee, it's poesis, it's any make, I mean, come on, that's a philosopher's answer. I'm questioning your poetic bona fides. I think maybe you're actually a philosopher. Are you guys actually switched? Was this whole thing a prank? This whole presentation?
The whole time, yeah.
Shannon and I mind meld often.
Yes.
All right, well, we'll try to link to some of your other stuff, and wish you the best. Thank you so much.
Indeed.
Thanks, y'all.
So nice meeting you and playing with you.
You too. Thanks so much.
Excellent stuff. Bankrupt.